I would like to dedicate this Dharma talk to the memory of Anthony Bourdain, who committed suicide yesterday. Perhaps if he would have taken refuge, he'd be with us today. Buddham Saranam Gacchami. Sangham Dharmam Saranam Gacchami. Sangham Saranam Gacchami. To the Buddha for refuge I go. To the Dharma for refuge I go. To the Sangha for refuge I go. Sanskrit, taking refuge. In the beginning, before Dogen, before Roxas, before Bodhidharma, and before Mahayana Buddhism, there was the first teachings of the Buddha. Today, I'm going to talk about the Buddha, his teaching, and what it means to take refuge. We should all know what it means by taking refuge. And if you have a Roxu, what kind of commitment have you made? Taking refuge is not looking for safety or protection as you would in a storm. We all know what it means to take refuge. We've been doing it all our lives. Just look back. As children, we turned to our parents for refuge when we were frightened, so that we would feel safe. Very important. As teenagers, we turned to our friends for the same reason. To feel safe. As adults, we turn to money, sex, food, drugs, gambling, other people, and suicide You name it. Whatever you can come up with, someone has turned to it. For safety, for security, for feeling good again. Yet. There's still some light out there. Whenever we feel pain, discomfort, frustration, we turn to something to make us feel better. Everything all right?
We're okay.
Whenever we feel pain, discomfort, frustration, we turn to something to make us feel better. Isn't that what we do? Even now? Whenever we feel spiritual discomfort or illness, we look for that special medicine make us feel better, feel good again. In Buddhism, we feel that the Buddha is the doctor in this case. He knows all the causes of suffering, and he has a prescription for his special medicine. The special medicine offered by the Buddha is his teaching. So, as a Buddhist, we trust that this is true and we go to it believing that it's the right path to follow in order to achieve our desire for enlightenment and happiness. We see ourselves as Buddha, as being one with the Buddha, being one with the teachings of the Buddha, and being one with the like-minded people. That would sit with the Sangha. My original teacher said it was really being one with the three gems. Today we refer to the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha as the three gems, the triple gems, and it is the first vow we take when we receive Jukai. Now, I would like to talk about the Buddha's first teachings. After the Buddha's enlightenment experience, his small group of followers were, for the moment, put off because they were ascetics and their object was to survive on one grain of rice a day. And the Buddha would have none of that. So they were upset with the change in his thinking and with what he was saying. And he asked them, "Have I ever lied to you?" And of course their response was no. So he asked them to trust him. And they did. And he set out to explain his new understanding. He first explained the middle way. And truly, It is the middle way. It is the middle of the extremes. And as ascetics, in that time, either you had no practice whatsoever, or you were going to try and survive on that one grain of rice a day. And he said that the middle way between these two extremes was the right path to follow. And he also said that as far as our own personal pleasures are concerned, there is again the middle way. From nothing to utter deprivation. The middle way is the way to go. They finally understood what he was saying. And they asked him to teach them. He was reluctant, but he gave in. And they asked him after his teachings to teach the people, to hold his teaching out to the rest of the community. He was reluctant, but eventually he gave in. His first teaching was at a place called Sarnath. It was in a deer park outside the city of Varanasi. The people gathered at Sarnath to listen to the words of a man of great reputation. He was well respected and admired for his way of life. His first teaching was about the Four Noble Truths. He talked about the suffering we experience in life and the causes of it, as I described earlier. You know, never being able to achieve what you can't achieve. That suffering. And all those ego-centered desires that we have, and all the delusions that we have, he could take care of. He said, not to worry, because he had the way out of suffering. And the way out of suffering was leading a life following the Eightfold Path. Each of the Eightfold Paths is a guide, a guided instruction on how to conduct your practice, your life. It was seen as the pathway to enlightenment, the pathway to the highest morality, and to all things good. This teaching is followed would lead to the relief of pain and suffering. The relief of the pain, suffering, and frustrated experiences by people would allow them to see more clearly. All of the teachings are no more than a promise. That promise was if you follow the way, you will achieve the wonderful state of waking up. Waking up. We all want to wake up. We want to wake up so that we can see more clearly and really enjoy life. And if you believe this to be true, I mean, really believe it to be true, you can feel it. You can feel it in here. You can feel it in your bones. How could you say no to these teachings? They were incredible. Well, you see the Buddha in his life. You hear his teachings, and all the people who feel as you do, the only question remaining is, how do I become a part of all of it? By taking refuge in the Buddha, in the Dharma, in the Sangha, and at the time, the first teaching was all that you needed to take refuge in to become a Buddhist. There was no other precepts, just taking the belief that if you followed what the Buddha said, you'd have a better life. By being wholeheartedly convinced that if you follow the path that the Buddha did, you would achieve the enlightened state of the Buddha. This is taking refuge in the Buddha. If you believe wholeheartedly that if you follow the path given to you by the Buddha's teachings of the Eightfold Path, you will gain enlightenment over time. May not be in this life, maybe the next, but it's out there. This is taking refuge in the Dharma. If you believe that the people believe as you do, that they would support you and you would support them, then you take refuge in them, the Sangha. Now is the time for all of you that have Roksus to ask yourself if you believe that you've actually taken refuge and you're living your practice as the Buddha taught. Good question. And if you come up with a negative, how do you fix it? How do you make it right? And if you don't have a Roksu, I hope that I've given you enough to think about so that the idea of refuge acts as a beacon on your path. Now, can we talk? Mm-hmm. Hmm? Certainly. Oh, you're just waving hi? Any comments? Any questions? Ooh. So now everybody understands? Yes? I hear a question lurking.
A realization. When I took refuge, I think it was after a long course of different things that arose, and I didn't think I so much took it as that it was offered. It just seemed like things came together and it was a natural step. And I entered refuge more than took it.
Well, in the original translation of the first chant, by the way, taking refuge, that is the first Buddhist chant. It says in Sanskrit that we go to the Buddha for refuge. So that's pretty much what you're saying, that we go to the teachings and we go to the Sangha. Very nice.
Yes, you put it. You brought a certain seriousness when you came with us, and the idea of commitment to this thing is not a, what we do here is not a hobby or not something like a part-time job. It's our orientation for everything else the rest of our life, and it should orient every single minute of every single day. To be a Buddhist is to be not a Buddhist on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but to be thinking about this as we go shopping and we talk to the reached at the coffee shop, and as we read books, it has to inform our lives. Your idea is that this is serious business, because the quest for enlightenment, which you've emphasized since you've arrived here, has to be a self-consuming thing. You know, there's some talk in Zen about a mosquito pecking an iron ball over and over again for eternity. That drive. You kind of emphasize this, that our commitment with the Rakusu is not something that is slight, something that's extremely serious and very important, because it's liberation. And that's something that I've always appreciated you brought to us. Thank you.
Anyone else with a thought or a question?
As you were talking, I was thinking a little bit differently, maybe. Rather than a refuge, a foundation, that we build a foundation on those three, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, so that it becomes more solid and complete. Rather than taking refuge, we build a foundation.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting, because the Buddha's teachings at the very beginning is that foundation that we rely upon, that we know over the course of time will get us to the point where we will see more clearly, we will understand more clearly, and we'll be happier in our lives for it. Yes, very nicely said.
One of the wonderful things about the three treasures is that it keeps me focused. If I slip, you know, if I slide or I say something unkind or whatever, or it pops right back in my head. You know, you're a Buddhist, you can't do that. You hurt the person's feelings or whatever, you know. And the greatest pleasure for me, besides coming here, is the prison ministry that we do. Just to see the conditions that some of these men, and unfortunately we don't go to the women's prison, exist in, and yet they are so dedicated to the principles and their little sangha that they have created in this horrendous, awful environment, and yet hold on to that so beautifully and so respectfully that I feel like a little ant when I'm next to them as far as my practice goes, where and how they actually practice behind the fence. It's just quite an amazing experience and a challenge for me every time I leave the prison. For me to act even 1/100th as much as a Buddhist as some of these men do behind the fence in horrendous lifestyle and whatever. So I'm really, how can I say, made better each and every day that I have the opportunity to sit with them. That makes me a better person, as the Sangha does too.
We have a few moments left.
I first read the teachings of the Buddha about 1979, 1980. The meandering pathway took me to a small bookstore in the Coral Gables bus station, and on one of the shelves in a rotating display was a little paperback book titled The Wisdom and the Compassionate Buddha. How I got there is another story, but and I bought the book and brought it home and read it, and the first thing I thought was, this absolutely makes sense. And I still feel that way. Come and go. But it just makes absolute perfect sense to me. And I never look back.
Well, thank you all for being patient with me, but truly understand the depth of what taking refuge is all about. It is at the heart of it all. Heart of it all. All. 7/24. Yes. Every moment, this very moment, whether in Sangha or in the grocery store, to be there, to hold on to a dealing. Thank you very much.